When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome back to the Not So Fit Couple podcast with your hosts, Lucy Haldon.
And Benjamin Haldon.
If you've noticed where we are today, we are back at Gymshark and it's had a upgrade.
Glow up.
Update. It looks really fancy. Am I behind the pampas grass? Oh no, pampas grass is there. No, it looks really stunning, but we are back at the Gymshark Regent Street store and today you have me and Ben.
And we are speaking about our younger selves.
Yeah, that doesn't sit... I don't know why. It makes me feel very...
Well, we thought we'd go over some things that are common beliefs or opinions, thoughts, tweets, and status that we put in the past, which some of them are going to be embarrassing, especially Facebook ones. And then Cal is going to fire some questions over, I think, as well.
Yes, I am. Sorry, I am here as well.
I think what's really weird when you look back on your younger self, if I were to look... How young are we going? 14, 15, 16.
Climbed up the womb. I don't really care about that.
No, from the when you're a teen, like 14, 15, 16. If I was to go back to my younger self of those ages, 14, 15, 16 especially, I look back now and I think that was actually a really, really hard time and a hard period for me. But if I looked on now to what I was doing, absolutely not, would not believe a single second of it.
I think toxic waste of millions.
You think of toxic waste of millions?
Yeah.
No, I don't at all. I think of all I think of is how my whole life was consumed in a negative and a positive way by swimming. Completely. That's all I can think of. I can't remember anything else. My whole identity was swimmer.
I'm sure you had some good times in your youth.
Oh, God, no, but
doom and gloom, Lucy Davis' life is grey and bad.
No, swimming was really positive and lovely and wonderful. But when I think back to those years, I think because it was such an important part and the biggest part of my life, that's all I can remember. Mm.
Yeah. I mean, I've noted down some things I used to think. And it'd be interesting to get your feedback on it as well.
Go on.
So one of the things I put down is, I used to think I didn't look good all the time. Then, and because of that, I was less valuable, I was less worthy, and that people would judge me and be like, oh, he's let himself go. Or I often felt a lot of pressure around when I took my top off because I think I was always a fit guy, games captain in school, was always good at PE, always good at sports, those kind of things.
I personally didn't, and this, I reckon this is a very individual case for me. I didn't really think about too much what I look like because I was in a swimming costume every day. Yeah. I know that might go one of two ways. It was more so when I quit swimming was the issue. I was a swimmer. They didn't even fathom. I was like, I'm in a swimming costume every single day. Didn't even faze me. As soon as I quit, I was the most aware, self-obsessed, self-destructive of my body that I've ever been in my whole entire life.
Yeah, I mean, that didn't happen when I was playing football at 14. I'm also talking about when you start to come into those teen years where social status is more of a thing, where you want to start seeing other girls and drink starts to become part of the equation. Mm. I'm also talking about that kind of area where it becomes more pressure in the way that you look. I think I massively just valued myself solely on that. I think that was crushing it for a long time. I think the way that I now think is that I just don't give a shit. Like, I think especially when you do things...
You still care about your appearance.
Not
though.
As much, but like, even in the gym, I wouldn't have took my top off and started training.
Oh, no,
I was training yesterday in the gym, doing a high rock session, just took my top off. I'm not in the best shape that I've ever been. Hadn't shaved my back. I was pissing a sweat. I just looked like a big hairy bear. I just trained and I didn't give a shit. And I think that's the difference, where that becomes a maturity, where that becomes the style of training that you're doing. I don't know. It's a mindset switch, which one that I'm happy about, by the way, because it means that I can enjoy myself a lot more, not just depending on whether I'm in summer shape or whether I'm like in the winter warmer suit.
Oh, no, 100%. I understand where you're coming from now. I thought you just meant as the transition, but I think that also comes through learned experience. As you grow up, you do, in your head anyway, you come to terms with things that you might not have understood as you were growing up. Whereas, I don't know, though. I mean, I think I can't probably answer it the best that I can because I've always trained with my top off or done this or done that, like eating disorder, no eating disorder. I kind of just did it anyway because I thought, oh my God, when I had an eating disorder, I looked absolutely terrible, and I wasn't. I was underweight and very lean. And then even, I don't know, it's very hard. It's very complex, I think.
Yeah, it's obviously
body image is complex, to be honest.
I think it's interesting to see how it affects men versus women in that instance as well. I think probably you wouldn't think about the amount of guys who are probably self-conscious about themselves just being in a pair of swim shorts at the pool.
In what way?
I think it's probably deemed from a social perspective is that women are more self-conscious of themselves, like being in a bikini or being in a swimsuit or being a bathing suit and getting shape for that. But there's a lot of guys who won't express how self-conscious they are just in a pair of swim shorts at the pool, especially between those kind of ages.
It's the exact same as a lot of guys won't express their feelings at all. They won't open up about how they feel. They won't open up if they're anxious, depressed. There's that whole thing. That's the whole reason you did a lot with Movember in general, which we were just speaking about before, is because guys find it a lot harder to open up because of the stigma of macho, manly, big, this and that. And it's the exact same with body image. It's even when you think about eating disorders, you naturally think, people think, oh, it's a lot of, like, so many women just have eating disorders, like, guys must be fine. So many guys have eating disorders. And it's not even spoken about because guys are supposed to be, like, bulky and big and macho and masculine and just to get over everything. So I can imagine growing up listening to those sort of things as a guy from your perspective is just as hard, if not harder, for you guys than someone like me. I feel like we had a lot of resources that I didn't use, but there was so many women who were in the same boat. There was no guys that I saw of who were in that same sphere.
Okay. Next point. Do you want me to just flow through these points, then we can discuss them?
Yeah, you can do. I mean, I also had points, but I can
bounce them back and forth.
No, mine was more so because when I think about my younger self, I was very, very impatient. And that was one of the topics that I wanted to talk about.
Okay, that was the next one. I always felt I was behind.
I still feel behind.
But that comes down to...
You never outgrow that.
That's a patience thing though as well. The reason I put that down is because I made the exact same notes that that's still how I feel. And this is also how you're supposed to feel. You're supposed to feel unsure. It's supposed to be uncertainty. It's supposed to feel like you don't have enough time. And I think most people fail because they rush and bounce off from idea to idea and try one different thing after another different thing, where patience is a big thing with success in any virtue. You've got to have some level of focus on that thing that's in front of you rather than just aimlessly pinging about from one endeavor to the other.
Yeah, patience is actually a really, really difficult thing to master. When I first started doing what we do today, I was the most impatient little shit. Like I couldn't understand or fathom why things weren't happening quicker, or as you said, I felt really behind. But then 5-6 years later, I still feel behind, and I'm not. I understand what patience is now. You have to look, actually, that's not the best way to describe it. You have to, with patience, the one thing that I had to do was actually just know that I was impatient and identify that I was a very, very impatient person. It's like recognizing anything within yourself. The hardest thing to do is admit that you are maybe arrogant in some ways, or you are impatient in some ways, or you don't stick things out. When you acknowledge those things, you can then move on from it, or you can use it in a way that allows you to move forward. So years ago, I really recognized, I think it was actually my mum said to me, she was like, you're really impatient sometimes. And even getting it from someone else, I was like, I really am. And I need to work on that. And then since then, when you recognize something you're not very good at, you can move forward with those feelings in a different light.
That's even interesting. I was thinking about this the other day when I was on a walk. you said that you're impatient. Like, are you impatient or do you sometimes...
I was impatient.
Let me just finish. Mm. Are you impatient or do you sometimes have moments where you're impatient? And let me reframe this so it might be easier to understand. Is someone sexist because they make a sexist comment? Or have they just made a sexist comment?
I think if you make a sexist comment, those thoughts go through your head, so you are sexist.
But if it's one sexist comment that someone's made, does that make someone sexist? If someone makes a bigoted comment, are they a bigot? If someone makes a racist comment, are they a racist? Like, what defines what someone truly is? Is it just one instance where something happens that then defines what you are?
I think it probably depends what it is. If you make one racist comment, you are a racist. If you make one sexist comment, you're a sexist. Like, those thoughts have gone through your head and you voice one of them out loud.
It depends on what context has been said. See, I kind of disagree.
I don't at all agree with that. If you make one sexist comment...
How often do you make mistakes in life, though?
Oh, a lot, but I've never said a racist comment. I know I'm
really taking these to the extreme level of the avenue, but the point I'm trying to make is, does one thing or moment or comment define what you are? I know deep down I'm not a bad person, but I've made bad decisions or I've made bad comments before. But I know in myself I'm not a bad person. So does that make me, like, do you know what I mean? I think one thing that you do in life, and this is the point of this podcast, is talking about our younger selves and maybe statements that we've made or statements that we put up or past beliefs. As I was saying to Carl before, it takes an intelligent person to form an opinion. It takes a wise person to change your opinion or change what you think.
I think it depends on the circumstances. So if you're talking about things that can describe a person, like you're patient, you're consistent, you're motivating, they're kind of things that describe someone of how you can act within yourself. And then if you go down the route of sexist or racist, they're like, they are things that you are, if that makes sense. Do you get what I mean? I don't know how to describe that.
I've got kind of a thought on this. So if someone in your life you would describe as a very patient person, but then they're in traffic and they cut someone up because that day they feel like, oh, I just need to get there. And that one act of impatience, would you then say from then on out, oh, they're a very impatient person?
No,
you'd say it's a patient person who, you know,
who lost their shit a little bit.
Who had
for
a very
moment.
Impatient moment. Yeah. Or, I mean, if we were to say like sexism, then you say, oh, they said a sexist comment, or you can maybe say like they had sexist tendencies or something, but it's all about definitions, right? And I think with negative things, it's quite easy to just go, I'm going to hit you with a brush and a term which labels you as you are X, you know?
This happens in the media all the time as well, doesn't it? Mm. You see people like they've made a comment in the media and they've now been tarnished with that brush for the rest of their life. Same thing with, I know this again is a really extreme example, but the amount of people who are deemed as like a paedophile or have been taken to court for, what's the word I'm looking for? Sexual harassment, but it is being proven not guilty or then still seen as that.
Yeah, there's a big thing in the media at the moment. There's a movement from some, I think it's footballers, who are saying that if you've been accused of something in the UK, they want to make it so that your name is not associated to it. Mm. So that, like, there are some footballers who get told, oh, you've, you know, sexually assaulted someone, but it turns out they didn't.
Yeah.
But then, that, you know, they've been dropped by the club, they've done X, Y, Z. It's a bit of a fine line. It's a tough one to tread, really, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And that's where it's really hard to build up trust in whatever you're doing, whether it be with a business, in a part, like in a relationship, in a friendship, but it's then really, really easily left. That's not the right word. It's really easy to give that up. It's really, I heard someone talk about another podcast the other day. It's like growing a tree. It takes years to grow it, but it can be cut down with one swipe of an axe.
Yeah, I completely understand. Yeah, all those points. I just think sometimes in the extremities of like sexism and racist, if you make those comments, like those comments don't even go through my brain, if that makes sense. Like the thought process has never crossed my mind, let alone to voice it or write it down or make a comment publicly. Mm-hmm. Whereas, if someone's cut me up and I'm like, fuck, like I probably do that anyway. But the patience and do you understand what I mean? Like those are quite like critical. If you make a sexist comment, if you're racist, they can have real implications and that's a bad, bad thing to do. Mm-hmm. If you're impatient for 2 seconds, it's not the end of the world.
That's
also the point that I've
taken these examples to the real extreme to kind of try and paint the picture of what I mean.
Yeah, no, I completely understand it. I think I'm, especially like sexist comments. I don't know, as a woman, I hate it. Like as in nothing infuriates me more. I think that's why I do what I do today. Like we were looking back at old, we were looking back at old posts then. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy to say I have the exact same thought processes that I do now, doing exactly what I do with work that I did about 10 years ago. And that actually makes me feel really proud in terms of the ethos that I believe. But on the sexism thing,
but I've definitely made, I'm not afraid to say I've made comments in the past before or even comment on things where I'm like, I don't believe that now. Mm. That's not me. Like I've said negative things or done certain things when I've had a bad day or whatever it is. And that's why sometimes when I look at comments online now, I try and think about the place that it's coming from some people, because it's probably just someone who's had a really shit day. And I try not like dig too much into it to let it affect me. And if there's no truth in it, then it's easy for me to kind of just shrug it off now.
Oh yeah, those sort of comments, I sympathize with most negative comments that I receive, because either they're having a really rough day, a really bad day, or if it's like a bot account, you're having a bad life. If you've gone out of your way, if it's anonymous, no profile picture, X2376 commented on you've gone out your way to make a fake profile, a fake account to do this on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. That's sad. I'm sad for your life that you feel you have to do that. And I sympathize. Same with Sarah Green made one bad comment. She's having a bad, I know that was just a made up name. I was also thinking Sarah Green is an actual person.
You said it's so, Sarah, like it was a conviction that you knew some girl down the road.
No, Sarah Green, who has a profile picture and she's made a comment on my video saying I look like a man. Sarah's having a bad day. User 276, no profile picture, is having a bad life. You can't, like there's a diff, do you know what I mean? It's just, negative comments. Yeah,
by no means necessary, by the way, before we move on to the next point.
Also, Sarah Green does not exist. That was not a thing.
I'm not condoning racism or sexism. I'm just trying to use those analogies to paint a picture of like, is everyone defined by an action?
Mm. No, I thought they were really good analogies. I just was pointing out.
Next point, I need to have a plan for the rest of my life. From 16, I think this was the big thing in schools where from the age of 17, 18 to retirement, it was, you need to know what you want to do. You need to have that fixed job up until now, till you have a pension. You need to know the plan. You need to know when you're getting married. You need to know when you're having kids. Know what you're doing at the weekends. Know where you're going to live. It felt like you kind of needed to map your diary out from that point. And whereas now, like the things I thought back then have just completely gone out the window. I think that throws a lot of people, especially if your life plan just one day is ripped up and blown away in the wind and you're like, where the hell do I go from here?
I think when we were at college and we're 27 and 31 now, the next course was you have to absolutely go to university. You have to get a degree. That is the only way to be successful. Like I really enjoyed uni and the experience. And my course was actually helpful because it was business management and events. But I also started this career second year of uni very early on. And I was so odd. I stuck out like a sore thumb at uni because I was doing something that no one else was doing. I don't think I necessarily did not need to be paying off my student loan right now. Do you know what I mean? Like I actually feel like I could have not gone to university and done something different.
That's why I quit at first, yeah.
And I just felt straight after college, there was no question. It was, you have to go to university. You absolutely have to go to university. So that's all you can do. Cool, yeah, done, bish, bash, bosh,
that's
gone.
A big push from the schools though, isn't it, as well? Because I'm sure Cal will be able to give more of an input on this.
I love Cal's story. It makes me happy.
No, not the story, but more so because his mum's worked in schools. I'm sure probably looks better on the school, is that more people have gone to university for that school?
Yeah, schools are ranked and defined on the amount of their students that progress onto higher education. And it's definitely not the correct thing for most students. I mean, the three of us, we could all be doing exactly what we're doing 3 years sooner if it wasn't for...
With way less debt.
Yeah, but it wasn't for university, so...
Kyle, sorry, I thought Kyle studied ants at uni.
Yeah, didn't so study ants. I think his degree was in ants.
Yeah, but it makes it sound... It, what, no, when the degree was in zoology...
For those people who don't know, the rough background is, I studied animals at university.
I've really dumbed down Kyle's degree there.
Yeah, very much so. I was studying ants and, I don't know, like fish.
Do you know what, though, actually? Because when I went to college... So after high school,
you just interrupted Kyle's story on his degree.
No, I was actually on the same level of what Kyle did with
ants. Let's finish Kyle's story first.
And animals. Sorry, Kyle, carry on the story.
The story's there. You're fine. No, basically, I just wanted to be a marine biologist from a young age, and then realized that maybe a vet would be better. And then, I was in university, realized I didn't like animals. I liked pictures and cameras.
I wish
and
pigeons.
I thought you said pigeons.
Cameras, photos. That kind of stuff. But yeah, that's it.
No, so what I was going to say with that is I love animals. I love the ocean. I go to the zoo. Part fish. I'm obsessed with animals, marine biology, the whole lot. I, at high school, didn't get the grade that I needed to study biology at college. You know when you go for your like open day at college or whatever it is and they tell you what you can and can't do? I don't know if they've still got that now. I got a B in biology. And they were like, oh, Lucy can't take, she can't take biology at A level. Is it A level at college? Yeah. She can't take biology at A level because she got a B. And because she swims so much, she won't be able to keep up with the work. From the age of 0 to however you are old at college, 16, 17, 18, 17, 8, 16, my whole heart, life, everything was set on being a marine biologist. Everything, obsessed with animals, snorkeling the ocean, collected rocks, you name it, to that one teacher to say, Lucy won't be able to keep up with the work and she got a B, so she can't do it. And then my whole trajectory changed.
I didn't know that about you, Lucy. I didn't know marine biologist.
Oh my God, marine biologist, everything. Like, why do you think I'm obsessed with sharks and crocodiles?
I know. Yeah, I think there's like two sides to that. One, is it good that they shut it down there and then before you didn't let you go down a path that was to no end? Or two, did they just shut down a young girl's dreams of not really knowing what she was capable of?
Well, yes, both sides of that. But I still now would love to be a marine biologist in Australia, scuba diving every single day, studying fish. Like, it makes me want to cry when I think about that.
I'd love to be a postman, so.
You love to be a...
postman.
Well, you want to do that at some stage anyway. I mean, we've got very different goals there, Ben. Like, I'm going to be in Australia scuba diving when we retire and you're going to be a postman. Mm. But it doesn't matter because that would make you happy and that would make me very happy. But that dream is still so there. Like, it hurts my heart. And I remember I was sat with my mum and she was absolutely devastated for me. Like, devastated that one teacher, bear in mind, if it was another teacher, they might have been like, Lucy will be fine. But the reason... they didn't let me take it is because I was a swimmer. Well, and I think that is bad.
There's another lesson. You don't always get in life what you want.
I mean, getting a B in biology is still good going. I got a C in maths and I really struggled with maths. I still do. I'm not very good with numbers.
Okay, next point.
Yeah, sorry.
Weekends.
You're really pulling on the heartstrings here, Ben.
Weekends for unwinding. Like, what I mean by this is, I was looking through my statuses and it was every weekend, which is a massive blowout of, you know, when you're looking through photos on Facebook, it was just loads of ale, loads of food, and then Monday regrets. Mm. And yes, they kind of are. The way that I would sort of look at weekends now, or reframe it, is obviously enjoy your weekends, try and not live for them. Because if you're just living to try and escape the Monday to Friday, it's not a great existence, I don't think, to have. But enjoy them. Just make sure that you're not going backwards. And what I mean by that is, if you've got goals and what you're doing on the weekend doesn't align with that, so if you're pounding in a shitload of food, or you're chugging back a load of alcohol, or you know that you've got work thing to do, and what that is then equating to is you being hungover all weekend, or you gaining a load of weight at the weekend, or your finances being ruined at the weekend because you spend too much money, that is putting you backwards. So I think I would try and look at them, and advise to my younger self is go and enjoy yourself, but just try and not go backwards with whatever you're doing and make sure it aligns with what your goal is. And that's difficult to tell a younger version of yourself, because I think a lot of it goes with experience as well. I guess that's more of a mindset for me to focus on now.
No, I definitely agree with that. The saying of like living for the weekend, but then you're only living 2 days out of 7 in a week. I wish I had the maths ability to work out what that was in a year, but
104
out of 365 days in a year. Thank you, girl.
Brain dead this morning. Applause.
No, I've got a bit of brain tiredness. And I used to completely live for the weekend. I just used to, and it was almost the mindset or mind frame of, I hated Monday to Friday. This is when we were swimming. It's so much going on. And I'm like, oh, it's finally the weekend, like everything, you can like go out, you can enjoy yourself, especially at uni. No lectures, no this, no that, like the world is your oyster for 2 out of 7 days. But then you reframe your mindset and think, I want to start living every single day to the fullest. And no, you don't have as much time, obviously, when you're working Monday to Friday, there's a lot going on. If you've got a 9 till 5, you've got a time constraint. But having the mindset of, I get to wake up today, I have a lot of gratitude, I get to work, I get to do something. Like I actually, it might not be something you love, and I know that's really, really difficult, but you still get to work. You're making money, you're doing things. It's changing that mind frame of only living for the weekend.
We obviously discussed this when
it is really hard.
We obviously discussed this when we went to Lanzarote the other week about the life that your mum and dad gave you when you were younger. And I think although you talk about it as a negative sometimes and you often do a lot of swimming, a lot of training, it's definitely laid a foundation for what you've been able to achieve in later life. So some of that sacrifice and some of that work has created the foundation and has created a vessel in which you now use and utilize for the success that you've got in later life. I think that's sometimes difficult. I mean, I think it's more difficult now for people to really appreciate, is because there's so many different people giving opinions on the way that people should parent, what they should do, how much they should be pushing their kids. But for anyone to have that level of success, again, you look at any extreme of the timeline or whatever you call it, you look at people like Serena Williams, the Williams sisters, you look at people like Tiger Woods, really pushing the boat out there. They're people who have to sacrifice a hell of a lot in order to be a champion. Mm. And I think children definitely still need children need to be pushed. They're not just going to go into stuff and make those choices. They've got to be parents who will do that. And you've got to be pushed to think a little bit when you're younger against your will. You don't have an experienced head on your shoulders. You don't have the knowledge, the education. And that's got to come from the parents. I think there's more negative things to come from parents who just let the kids do whatever the hell they want to do, rather than the parents who are pushy.
I agree completely. And also, I had a wonderful, wonderful childhood. And even though most of it was growing up as an athlete in sport, it was the best thing my mum and dad ever did for me and Meg, 100%. We spoke about it in Lanzarote in terms of where's that level of you're pushing your kids too far, but it's more from like a coach's perspective, how the coach has treated us, not how our parents treated us. Like my mum and dad gave us so many opportunities, but it was more so when you get to a level, the way the coaches treat you then can have a negative effect. But again, that's not the parents' decision. My mum and dad didn't know what the coaches were saying to us, and we didn't tell them. Like that wasn't a thing. It was a coach-athlete relationship. It was very different to a parent relationship. I am so thankful every single day for mum and dad pushing us. The amount of times I wanted to quit and they were like, no, like you're not quitting. Like you literally, you're not there yet, you're not quitting. And I'm so thankful they didn't let me quit. And when I was ready, when I was 18, I was like, this is it, I actually can't do it anymore. They understood what I was seeing and that I couldn't progress in it anymore. And they were wonderful and so good to me when I stopped swimming, because they knew I'd hit that level where I'm not going to take it any further. And they pushed us every single day in the most positive way. And you're really correct with saying I do think kids need to be pushed out of their comfort zone to do hard things from a young age, to not get everything that they want to get in life. And they have to work for it. They have to do really hard things and get uncomfortable in situations. So no, it's not all negative. There was just a slightly negative. It was a lot mm-hmm. on you.
Next point. The thought that friends will be my friends for the rest of my life. It's always an interesting one, isn't it?
What are you speaking about?
When you're at school, you're like, these are going to be friends. I'm gonna buy like a row of four houses and all my friends are going to live next to each other. And that's what we're going to do for the rest of our lives. Mm. I'm just going to live in bunk beds and have a good time.
And do you know what your parents always used to say to you? You will have five,
my parents
maybe more
that.
Best friends. My mum said that a lot to me, actually. Like
how interesting is it, even if you probably count now, how many friends you're actually friends with from school?
Which school? Primary, high school, or
more
college?
So high school, because that's where you form more friends. From primary school to high school, I left a lot of friends behind from primary school, and then I think you go through stages and you leave people behind in your life.
None from primary school, one from high school, none from college, and two from uni. So three in total. Yeah, three people who I would still consider that. Like I'm really, really good friends with mm-hmm. From that whole period. I think what really pricked my ears up? We did the podcast with Tia Claire Toomey. If you've not listened to it yet, guys, go back and listen to it because it was really phenomenal. And she said something in terms of you go through life and as you have different goals, you have different things you want to achieve. And the way she said, there was a friend who she's now not really friends with, but she loves this friend dearly. But they now don't speak. They don't make contact because the friend couldn't understand why Tia was doing what she was doing. She didn't understand that she had these ambitions and these goals. And I thought it was wonderful how Tia just said, there might be a stage where we do full circle and we're friends again. And that would be wonderful. But there also might not be. Mm-hmm. And I've had that with a lot. I'm now not friends with a lot of people who I did used to be like really quite close with. And I think I've changed so much as a person, not my personality and who I am deep down and everything like that, but I've changed because I've grown so much. There's so much that I want to do and achieve, and I'm exactly the same person like who I was back then, but I've got very different ambitions, and you just drift away from people. And I don't think it's even the same person
you're back. I can see massive change even in the last 2 or 3 years. I don't think anyone's the same person they were even 3 years ago.
Oh no, not in that way. I just mean like personality wise, like how I speak, how I am, my beliefs and what I am.
But even that beliefs are always an interesting one, because I think that changes very quickly for people, depending on what experience they've been through in the past 3 years.
Yeah, I get.
Which is part of this podcast is looking back at some of those. I was even looking at tweets and statuses, and I was like, I don't believe that. I think it's very easy to go, I've always been the same, and I've always had the same beliefs, and I still stand behind those things. And in reality, if you were to probably look back at some of the beliefs that you did hold, you would be pretty surprised at what the younger you has said. Have you had what are those things that people voice record with? A dict or something.
Dick.
Yeah. Like the things you've said and could highlight all the things or the negative things. You'd be very surprised, I think, at some of the things you've said that you just don't even, that you've just completely washed away from your brain.
I think that's maybe it. I maybe just can't remember.
Well, I think that the human mind chooses to do that though. Especially things we don't need, it sieves it out pretty well. Or things that don't serve us.
I think I'm also meant like personality wise. I don't think my personality, like my ambitions have changed wildly. So from a business perspective, and I think I have lost friends along the way because they can't see what I, like my goals for future are wild and crazy. And I think I've probably lost some friends because they don't get why I'm doing what I'm doing. So that's a big growth and change in who I am as a person and what I see myself doing. But then who I am, like who I am is not... You know, the speech my dad gave at the wedding, that he's like, you are Lucy. Like you've always been this same sort of person, but now there's these other things that come with it. Like that thing that I pulled up from 2015 I wrote an article. Me and Ben were going back and looking at Facebook statuses or tweets, and I didn't actually use Twitter that much. So that's probably more on you. But I wrote a Facebook status in 2016, which is basically is an article that I wrote on, I created a website, Lucy Davis Fitness. And so I created my own website in 2016, and I wrote an article saying, does weight training make you manly? And that makes me feel really proud, because that means my ethos hasn't changed in terms of what I believe in. However, I don't post the same things I post on Instagram. I used to post my arse a lot, and I looked very naked.
Nothing changed there then, has it?
It's still present on my Instagram in areas, but I base a lot of my self-worth on how big my bum was, and I don't do that anymore. And it's actually fine if you do that. By the way, if anyone's listening and they use Instagram and they use their bum and things like that, you do you. That was me. My point was, so what I post physically has changed, but the message, so I wrote that 9 years ago, does weight training make you manly? I probably can pull up a caption from 2 days ago, does weight training make you manly? And that makes me really proud, because within 9 years, I still really strongly believe that like women should be strong and muscular. And that really hits hard for me.
Mm-hmm.
I think like the authenticity behind, it's still there in my brain.
Can I ask you a question on that, Liz?
Yeah, but be nice.
No, it's nice. It's nice. What do you think about the fact that you were saying it 9 years ago and you're still saying it today means? As in, do you think it's an issue that things haven't progressed as much as you potentially would have wanted them to 9 years ago?
Do you know what? I think they've progressed.
Okay.
I think they've significantly progressed in terms of how women are valued in the gym environment with muscle, because probably though, there's a lot more women doing it now. But 9 years ago, I was probably one of the only people speaking about it, which is maybe why I wrote a blog post on it in the first place, to bring attention to it. It will never not be a thing. I think the whole time I'm alive, for the next 100 years,
you're not going to be alive for another 100 years.
I could really live till 120. I mean,
if anyone's going to, it's going to be you.
120. My mum wants to live till 111. Pushing it.
Yeah, so start getting on board with the daily habits that guy has. What's the guy?
Brian Johnson.
He's trying to reverse his age.
Oh, that's too much though, isn't it, really?
Isn't he injecting his son's blood into him?
Yeah.
That's
a lot, that.
We'll try and get him on the podcast.
We were speaking to him, weren't we, a couple months ago?
He'd be a really cool one to get on the podcast.
With things like that though, it's just... it's doing things for the sake of it. He's given up the quality of his life for quantity.
Yeah, it's not about the amount of years in your life, it's about the amount of there life. There you go. Years. What a quote.
Mic drop.
But yeah, we've moved forward. It's not where it needs to be, but I think women in sport and fitness is far better than it was 9 years ago for sure. Yeah.
I think there's just more women in gyms and in fitness spaces where people can see people that they can relate to.
Yeah. But absolutely buzzing that my message has not changed. It has not changed. That's who I am. What you see is what you get. And that makes me really, because people sometimes really change their narrative depending on trends or likes or engagement. The fact that I'm still chatting the same thing I was chatting 9 years ago, really, it's definitely rooted in me that that's my why.
Mm-hmm.
Why I do what I do.
Next point.
God, you've got so many points, Ben. Did you have any points?
I've got one or two, but we'll stick with Ben. I like the way this
is. This will probably be one of my last ones. So I put this note just from, again, these are some of the points I've taken away from statuses that I used to make to kind of summarize what I was thinking within that. So I needed to justify everything I did to people and explain myself. I would focus on other people and not myself. Therefore, I would be so focused on not looking stupid and that I would be stupid and not moving forward. So I'd only care what other people thought about me. And with that became this thing of like, I was thinking about how winners focus on moving forward and how losers focus on not losing. And that was me. I was just trying to stay afloat rather than moving forward because I was too bothered about justifying myself to other people, potentially people I didn't even like. And I think it's very easy to get caught up in. You're just justifying yourself to people who hold no value in their opinion over your life.
I think I still did that up until like a year ago.
Oh yeah, it's very difficult.
Like really, to get off. Really actually concerned with what anyone thought of me. And a massive, massive people pleaser, almost to the extent where I'd put myself into a detrimental state just to please other people. as in I'd make myself really unhappy to please other people. And that is a really crazy thing to wrap your head around. I'm thinking now, why on earth did I do that? Do you know what's really awful? I used to do people's uni assignments.
So I was.
How awful is that? Because I was so nice. I was like, yeah, I'll do it for you.
Being a people pleaser, I think, is often viewed as a negative thing.
It's, maybe a pushover.
One of the things I also like about you is that you... But no, but it's like you are a nice person. Like you often will put other people first. Like that. Sometimes yeah. That's a nice trait to have. Like I don't think it's always to be viewed negative if you're a people pleaser. I understand why it can be in some situations, and if you're doing it all the time.
I think maybe I was a pushover. Then is that a better way to describe it? That I was a pushover.
I don't ever remember you being that way, but if that's how you describe how you think
this was. This was probably pre you.
No, nothing existed before me.
Nothing existed before you.
Life didn't exist before me. That's when
life wasn't a thing. Ben did never have previous partners. Yeah. I've been his only pride and joy his whole life. I can't even think about that thought process.
It was basically Mary and Joseph before this point.
Yeah, we came out the womb at, I was 20 and you were 26, yeah. And then that was life. I just, you know, it's actually really funny.
Life was erased for them. It was like one of those, it's like the guys from Men in Black came down and just zapped all your memory from previous.
I can't honestly think about the fact that Ben had been with other people. I'm just like, absolutely not, because I am his only, I am his whole world. He was single before me. Yeah. Awful. Anyway, I was a pushover then. I love my friends. So much. I love my friends, my family, and you so much. I would do anything for them. I think I'm more so thinking pre that of maybe people who I thought were my friends who then used to bitch about me behind my back. I think everyone I lived with, and probably in my degree course, they used to talk about what I was doing in the fitness space because nobody was really doing it. And they were like, she's so boring. Oh my gosh, she's never going to make it. All the people I swam with said it. Whereas 5 or 6 years later, they ask you for favors. And I think that's what's really important for people to remember. If someone is saying something now, it's because you're doing something and they're not.
Mm-hmm.
It's because you're doing something with your life that you're very passionate about. If people are bitching and moaning behind your back because they won't do it to your face because they've got no balls, but you will hear about it anyway because that is what happens. They will come to you in 3 or 4 years and ask you for a favor. I can guarantee someone did it from swimming multiple times for me and loads of people from high school. I just deleted them because I thought, I do not have time for that. I do not have time because you were nasty to me.
It's very easy to do though, because in a conversational sense, it's easy to say to someone, do you know what I mean? And that's trying to justify what you've just said.
You still do that a lot, actually.
Yeah, I do it sometimes, yeah, because it can be a confidence thing. If you're not speaking about something that you know a lot on, or you feel judged, you go, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just, you're looking for confirmation or validation that the other person understands what you've said.
I wonder if there's a different way you could phrase that.
Because you don't need to say it. You finish a sentence. If that person doesn't understand, they can ask a question about it.
Yeah, sorry. That's more so what I meant is, you'd finish a sentence. Because I definitely do it as well. Meg does it as well a lot, you know, actually.
But you can do it with questions. An example before, when you were prepping some stuff for another podcast, you'll sometimes butter a question up before asking it. Instead of just being direct and asking the question. And that's sometimes just trying to build your own confidence within a delivery.
Yeah, because
we all do it.
I don't want to offend people. I get really...
What's that quote from Casey? About asking for...
Yeah. It's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission.
Yeah.
Good quote.
It's, say it again, Cal.
It's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission.
See, I wouldn't. I'd ask for permission first and then not do it. If they said no. Like, I that makes me stressed to do something without getting permission. Whereas I'm my 27-year-old self, I should be able just to go off and do things.
But you know that a lot of growth and a lot of goodness comes from being in uncomfortable situations.
Yeah, it does. It does. I'm not very good with that. I do like doing things the proper way, or maybe just being very transparent.
Okay, I think that was my last one. We probably have to wrap up at this point.
Yeah, can I ask one quick question?
Kyle's got a question.
Okay, so I'll just cut to a more juicy one. What do you guys think are personality traits that make you well-suited to what you do and then personality traits that make you not well-suited to what you do?
Personality trait well-suited. Yeah. I am an extrovert.
Yes.
I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, for
In what we do, especially hosting a podcast, speaking to camera, looking in people's eye contact. Eye contact's a really hard thing that sometimes people can't do. Talking on stage, I think that helps.
What about not well suited to what you do, Luz? If you were to be very self-critical, what would you say, personality-wise?
I am not very good at taking criticism. Mm. Quite a lot of the time I struggle. Because, Cal, I always think I'm right. And it's a really bad trait to have, but a lot of the time I think I'm right. A lot of the time. And I find it quite... And that's not okay in the fitness industry at all. I mean, science, yes. Science is right or wrong. Not on that sort of thing.
No, I don't think you do that all the time. I think you just do it with me. It's like a partner thing. You just do the piss your partner off. You just don't back down. I don't think you do it on topics where you're debating on things or where you're speaking in a professional environment. You just do it to piss on my chips.
But maybe because we both work together then, so that's in like a business sense.
It's a couple thing, isn't it? I think a lot of people do it.
Yeah.
Okay, quickly, my one is, I think my strength is that I don't give a shit with a lot of things. I'm the one who will like push the boundary and take risks because I don't care if the plan doesn't go to plan.
Completely.
Or I'll just push the boat out to float and see if it sinks, sort of thing.
Yeah.
One of the negative personality traits. I'm very impatient. And impatient with like a short fuse sometimes.
Mm. Yeah.
I think it's probably easier for you to evaluate one of my
negatives.
You're a perfectionist, so you liked everything done properly, which can sometimes be good, but can sometimes pull you back.
It's really actually detrimental.
Sorry, Luz, I interrupted.
No, go on.
One that springs to mind for the two of you is like organization. I think you two are like on polar opposites of the spectrum when it comes to organization. Luz is the single most organized human being I've ever met in my life, which means you're very rigid and very like things get done when Lucy's doing them. But the thing is, with Ben, things get done, but they get done in different ways. Yeah, and I think it's hard to label that as this quality is a positive, this positive is negative.
But can cause conflict. It was even apparent when we went traveling the other day. Me and Meg are super laid back and Lucy's not. No. So like we want to chill in the airport. We want to sit down. We want to have a coffee. We'll move at our own pace. Whereas Lucy's on her feet, wants to be at the gate. Like there's no right or wrong to it. It's just different people, different traits.
But because I am the organizational queen, I'm the one who books the taxis, so you've no choice.
Traveling with Lucy.
But like, it could have been booked. I might have booked it just a little bit later, but because you've already done it.
Yeah, we would already be in our taxi. But that is one thing, to be fair. Yeah, I'm very...
Good question.
I almost get, because I'm so organized, when things aren't to the plan, I get very, very stressed. But yeah, I thought that was actually a fantastic podcast today.
Yeah, I'd advise anyone to go through your Facebook feed or your Twitter feed and just look back over some of the old photos or statuses. Especially if you're going for a new job, that's probably a good thing to delete any old sexist or racist jokes in there. But just take a look over things anyway, because it'll be funny maybe, even a little bit tongue-in-cheek, to probably look at your old beliefs and old views from a previous time.
And we hope you enjoyed today's episode with that wonderful ambulance that completely threw me off track. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you did, we'll do like a part two, because I think there's a lot more to uncover that we've not actually had time to speak about today. But it was really interesting, I think, for us as well to go back. Hopefully you're still loving and enjoying the podcast in every single element. If you're not subscribed on YouTube or Spotify, make sure you do so. Leave a review on Apple, because it really, really helps us. And as always, we appreciate you.
Bye, guys.